Hey, Gabby.
Hey, Anna. Welcome to our next episode of the JLV Showmream podcast, made exclusively for our most generous and committed supporters.
That's what this podcast is all about. This is one way we are saying thank you to all of you who joined Showmream this year. Because of your support, JLV is empowering families every day to make Judaism meaningful and relevant for themselves.
As you know, in each episode, we explore different ways Judaism impacts our lives. Today, we're going to talk about something that might surprise you. We're going to talk about Judaism and mortgages.
Yeah. When we think about how Judaism impacts our lives, I'm not sure we tend to think about our mortgages, but our guest today is going to talk about just that. I'm glad to introduce my friend, David Frankel. David is a senior vice president of mortgage lending at Guaranteed Rate. In addition to his 8 years of experience in mortgage lending, he spent 8 years as a real estate agent and broker, and prior to all of that, David was ordained as a rabbi from Hebrew Union College in 2003, the only rabbi-turned-mortgage lender that I'm aware of. He was featured in the New York Times in 2017, and we'll link to that article on our website at jewishlearningventure.org/podcast so you can check it out. David is married to cantor Aaron Frankel, and together they are raising 2 teenage daughters in Center City, Philadelphia. David, welcome to the JLV Showmream podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
Welcome, David. It's great to meet you. Can you start by telling us how you got into the mortgage business?
Certainly. Aaron and I moved here in the spring of 2012 when she was hired to be the cantor at Congregation Rodef Shalom in Center City. And I was looking to change. This is a real estate business, not terribly portable from one city to another, and wanted to look at something where I could take the skills that I had gained and gathered, but maybe put them in a little different direction. Coming to Philadelphia and not knowing neighborhoods or school catchments and other of the soft skills that make great real estate agents really valuable and successful, I didn't have any of that knowledge. But I did know how realtors worked and what makes them tick and what makes transactions more successful for them and their clients, and realized that working in the mortgage business, I could build my own book of business, meeting realtors, focusing on purchases, helping them with their clients. And I decided that would be great because I didn't need the network. I didn't need to know school catchments. I would lean on them to do that. I was good with numbers, good with people. And that's what led me here.
So interesting. And your business, I happen to know, is really based on those relationships. Relationships with the clients, relationships with the real estate agents. Not personally, being a person who doesn't work in finance, I don't really think about mortgages as a relationship-based business, but I think that's really how you approach your business.
I really do. Thank you. We don't do anything unique. I tell my clients, money they get from us is no better than it is from anybody else, but everything from the introductory phone call or email through to closing and questions post-closing, if they get something in the mail and want to know something, is going to be better with us. And that's where it really makes the difference. So we're not selling money. We really are selling relationships and comfort and expertise.
David, so I'm curious, stepping back before you got into the mortgage business, can you share with us what led you to rabbinical school?
I was a real kid of the Reform Movement, real success story, honestly, of the Reform Movement. I had been at one, really from the age 5 through college and beyond, the member of one synagogue, and great relationships with other kids there, with teachers, with the rabbis, with whom I'm still in touch, all growing up. I went to a Reform summer camp, a small camp in northern Arizona, owned by a synagogue, not a URJ camp, and was actively involved in NIFTY through high school, and made a lot of sense. I was a religious studies major as an undergrad, worked on a Hillel on the Arizona State University campus my first year out of undergrad in 1994 as a Steinhardt fellow brought onto campus to reach out to students. It's the sort of universal quest with Hillel, reach out to students who are not naturally coming into Hillel and engage them. And that is what brought me there. I loved being on the campus. I loved relationships. Even 27 years ago, relationships were what I really liked and wanted to go to be a rabbi and Hillel director to build on all that experience.
It's so interesting. I don't know anyone else, as I said, who went from rabbinical school eventually into mortgage lending. What do you think you've brought with you from what you learned in seminary and during your time at Hillel into your work today?
One of the funny things is my nickname in my office is the Guide Father. I like reading. All of our loan programs have guidelines, and I, you know, as much as I liked reading texts when I was in school and still do sometimes, I like reading the guideline books for our loan program. So knowing the difference between a Fannie Mae loan and a Freddie Mac loan and all kinds of different things. So reading, studying, definitely one. I think the idea of talking to people and listening to people. When you're in Hillel, you talk to people and engage them to get involved. And when I interned at congregations through my time at HUC, we talked to people in order to listen and to hear them and to welcome them. I wasn't selling anything. And that carries over as well. And that I am not, my clients would tell you, this tone of voice that I'm using on the podcast is the same tone of voice I get when I'm talking to a potential client. There is no pressure. There's no, let me go talk to my manager. What do I have to do to get you to sign today? The stereotypical salesman, even though I am a salesman. I like talking to people. I like finding commonalities before we get to the business at hand. And I also think that part of what helps me succeed and what helps me carry over is thinking about if I can't do something, like running a good business, both in terms of dollars and cents, but more importantly, being a good person and being an honest person. And I wake up every day with the goal of being a good businessman, but as a good person first. And if I can't do that, it doesn't matter how big of a mortgage practice I can build up. It's just not there. And I'd like to think most of my colleagues in my office are really terrific and they are very good people. But that to me is step one, is the idea that you have to live values and ethics, and it's not, you don't cut corners.
It sounds like seminary was perfect training for you, David.
In an interesting way, there are a number of skills, I think, that carry over to the business world where clergy people can be successful. People have heard stories about, certainly in the Reform movement, of business people going into seminary. I think in a lot of ways, I would be proof positive that it's equally, if not potentially more applicable going the other way. in that I'm a much better fit bringing rabbinic background and learning into the business world than trying to go in from the business world into the rabbinate. So yes, I'd learned a lot of soft skills that are essential to my business.
You basically just explained our mission in how you described your experience there, which is this idea that if we can support families, children, parents, and other members of those families who are raising children to really grapple with Judaism, they can take those tools into their day-to-day lives to live healthy, productive, successful, thriving lives. So you're proof positive.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. It really is, it's who we are, and it's inside of us. And it, for me, and I think in a good circumstance with Judaism, it informs both what's inside of us and outside of us, and how we act in the world around us, not just in Jewish settings, but in our secular daily lives as well.
David, is there one particularly powerful story about a client that you could share with our Shomrim audience?
Sure. You know, I had a really interesting experience early in 2020, before COVID took hold. And this was something where it was not... In terms of the size of the loan, the dollars of the loan, it did not have a huge impact. But personally, the relationship was fantastic, in that I had gotten a call from a new immigrant to the United States, been here a couple years, and worked in a warehouse, worked and saved at a rate that was remarkable, and had a number of members of this man's extended family living with him. We got started in January, February, we're ready to go. He was pre-approved, and then COVID hit, and he was furloughed at his warehouse, and we had to stop and put everything on hold. And I was very excited when he came back a couple months later. So COVID hit in March, things shut for a while. It was May, maybe he was back. And we had said, this is not the end. We're putting this on hold. And he eventually got back and he called me, and I was thrilled just to talk to him and listen to him and hear that he was back. And we helped this man who showed that even through COVID, he managed to maintain his finances, really achieve part of the American dream and purchase his first home for his family and build towards the future here on what really wasn't a big loan, but to him it was a big loan, and to him it was important. And to me personally, it felt great to see him achieve that and to help him, enable him to achieve that, but to also know that we were able to ensure that he got the right advice and the right product and did not have to go outside of a really traditional bank when he was perfectly well qualified for a conventional loan, just because he wasn't borrowing a huge amount of money. Really is important to me. And that's part of what I was looking at. You know, we are taught to treat the stranger well, for we had been strangers. And it would have been very easy to say, you're borrowing one third of my average loan amount. I don't really have time or advice or whatever. But that would have been very disingenuous in a lot of ways. This was a really nice person who had worked really hard. And the fact that he did everything he needed to do to obtain a wonderful new home for his family and have a place for them to grow into really felt nice to be able to have that as part of our business for 2020.
That's an incredible story. I really wish more businesses had lots of those stories to tell, or maybe they do, and we just don't get the opportunity to hear them so often.
It's true, Anna. And David, we're thinking that before we go, we'd love to look at some text with you. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Always happy to do that.
Okay, so for those of you listening, again, you can find our source sheet on the Shomrim podcast webpage, jewishlearningventure.org/podcast. We're going to look at a piece of text from Talmud. In Jerusalem Talmud Nidarim 30b1, Rabbi Akiva taught, "Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the most important rule in the Torah." Ben Azai says, "This is the scroll of the generations of humanity. Humans were created in the image of God. This is an even greater principle, so that one should not say, 'Because I have been humiliated, let my friend be humiliated with me. Because I have been cursed, let my friend be cursed with me.'" So, David, how does that text sit with you when you think about your business?
It's a very interesting and wonderful text that works both, I think, ethically and professionally. Ethically, certainly, even when I was in seminary, I looked at this and talked about, it's a sort of a Jewish twist on what is commonly referred to as the golden rule.
Right.
When we look at the golden rule, it's do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But Jewishly, it's that which is hateful to you, don't do to another. So it's a small but significant twist. It doesn't matter how others treat you, as Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai are getting to, but rather you start with you. It's not a subjective, it's an objective. If you don't like it, do not do it to someone else. Someone treating you poorly does not give you license then to treat another person poorly. Do not, this is not on a sliding scale here. We're taught to strive to be good no matter what, and no matter how people treat us. And apropos that we're heading into Martin Luther King Jr. Day weekend as we record this, that they were not meeting violence with violence. They were protesting and acting the way they were taught, and we often see the same. We do not do what we don't like to others. And professionally, I think that I strive to build a business that is better than my competitors. But when I look at how I work, how I interact with clients, how my team works, how my team interacts with clients, we want to be the best, and we want to be better than we were a month before, a year before. Last year, 2020, was a difficult year as we navigated how to work remotely with an uptick in business. And we did all right, but we learned a lot of lessons about how to do that. And we were able to say, we've had some bumps, but we're still better than the other guys. But that doesn't carry over long term. That doesn't carry over to this year. And so just as we're saying, as I said, because I've been humiliated, let my friend be humiliated with me. Just because other mortgage companies are having bumps in the road, it's okay if we do too. The real successful business that we try to build says, let's be great. Let's not worry about what other companies are doing. You're here with us, you're not with them. So let's learn from last year and let's just be great this year again.
Yeah, really nice.
David, looking at the text, we've got both Rabbi Akiva and then we also have Ben Azai saying, you know, bringing two different things to this idea. Do you find yourself more on Team Akiva or Team Ben Azai?
If I can be rabbinic and say both, I will. On a personal level, I like the idea of love your neighbor as yourself. And I like that on a business level too. We want to treat people as well as we would treat ourselves. And I will often say to people, I would give my relatives the same advice. You're not getting anything that I don't trust myself. And then with Ben Azai's statement, I think that carries over as well. I don't like when people don't answer my questions. And it's not okay just because other people may be terse or may not be friendly about something. We want to be thorough. We want to be friendly in our interactions with everybody. So really both, if that's not too, trying to get off the hook by having to pick one.
No, that's part of our tradition, right? You're allowed to say both.
Thank you.
Yes.
David, thank you so much for being on this podcast today and sharing your insights with us. This was really great.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And thank you to all of you who've joined Shomrim and are making it just possible to do our work at Jewish Learning Venture.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.